97.5, The Fanatic.
Corey Simon on the Comcast Business Hotline covers the Phillies for NBC Sports Philadelphia. Thanks so much for coming on, Corey. How are you?
I'm great, Ty. How are you? It's probably a pretty different vibe than it was a week ago at this time. It's amazing how a few wins can kind of change the mood. I'm just curious if your callers, if they're feeling optimistic, or people not buying in yet? What's like the general tone?
The general tone has been more people are not buying in. Some people think it's a fluke. They're not in yet. They enjoyed it, it seemed like, obviously, scoring a bunch of runs, but they're not in yet. It's going to take some more. The good thing is, and I was going to ask you about the schedule itself, up until before the Angels series, it was the toughest schedule in the majors. After the Brewers series, the schedule actually lightens up a great deal. Does that play a role at all in why the Phillies have struggled relative to expectations up until this point?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, it doesn't guarantee that they're going to play well against these bad teams that are coming up. After the Brewers, they have the Diamondbacks, Marlins, Nationals, and Rangers for the next 13 games. But you'll remember that last season they went 2-5 against the Diamondbacks, who lost 110 games, and they've always struggled to beat the Marlins, to win series in Miami. So there's no guarantee that they're going to beat up on those inferior teams. But to your question about how the schedule has dictated their start, it had to play a role. I mean, you think back to early April, they faced Max Scherzer three times early. They've now had two series against the Brewers. They finished up with the Dodgers, series against the Padres, series against the Giants. There was like a 5-week stretch there beginning on, I think it was May 9th, where the Phillies played 23 games, and 20 of those 23 games came against a team over 500. The only three that weren't were these last three against the Angels, who needed a 12-game losing streak to fall below 500. So faced a lot of good starting pitching. Schedule lightens up. The Brewers, you know, they're a very good team. They lead the NL Central, but the Phillies are heading to Milwaukee at a time when the Brewers have lost three in a row. They're not hitting. Yelich is slumping. McCutchen is slumping. The Phillies are avoiding three of their top four starting pitchers. So even a three-game series in Milwaukee, as good as the Brewers are, this is a winnable series for the Phillies, and we'll see if they're able to carry over that offensive momentum.
Yeah, let's hope so. And I'll ask you about the young energy in just a second, but the one negative seems to be infield injuries. Now Camargo joins Maton and Segura. So now you have the return of jetpacks. I know some people be interested in that, obviously. But do you think they're equipped to weather this short-term injuries outside of Segura's?
We'll see. I mean, if not, then Dave Dombrowski is going to have to get out there and acquire an infielder because, you know, the issue is depth right now. Segura's out until early September. Camargo has this knee injury. You don't know how long he's going to miss, but that's a key loss because he was your Swiss Army knife. He was the utility guy who could play every infield position well. I mean, not just play every position, but he was probably their best defensive shortstop, their best defensive second baseman, their best defensive third baseman, and now he's out a little bit. The Kingery move was pretty much out of necessity. The Phillies didn't have another healthy infielder on their 40-man roster, which is why, you know, they turned to Scott Kingery, who has big league time, even though he really wasn't hitting in the minor leagues. So we'll see. You know, it's another opportunity for Scott Kingery. He's probably not going to play a ton, but, you know, you could see him pinch run late in the game. He might end up having to, you know, take a plate appearance if he comes in as a defensive replacement or whatever. But this really is out of necessity for the Phillies. It's not a perfect solution, obviously. You would want, ideally, to have another player like a Johan Camargo. Ronald Torres, who filled a variety of infield roles for the Phillies last season, was in this organization earlier in 2022, but he got his release because it didn't seem like an opportunity was going to arise for him. And, you know, also you have to consider that Joe Girardi was his guy. Joe Girardi's obviously not here anymore, but that was a name the Phillies could have looked at. The Maton injury, another one that just stings your depth.
Yeah, for sure. Now, one of the things that, and I want to ask you about this because I haven't had a chance to discuss it with you. One of the things that fans and others dinged Girardi on was his reluctance, it seemed like, or lack of patience with young players. And Rob Thompson, since then, has been making it very clear that he thinks that's important. Bryce Harper has said that that's important because it brings the energy. They're young, they're vibrant, they're there every day, exuberant. Do you think that, one, that was a mistake from Joe Girardi on the one hand, and then on the other side, do you think it is important, I guess hand in hand, to have some of that young energy in the clubhouse?
I think some of it is just like coincidence and circumstance, because Mickey Moniak wasn't healthy until, you know, the last few weeks here, so Girardi didn't have a chance to play him in center field early. Bryson Stott was hitting like 125 initially. So it was difficult for Girardi to stick with him on an everyday basis as shortstop or third base when you had Camargo hitting well and playing better defense, and you had Alec Bohm, who was hitting well in April also. You know, I do think it's important for Bryson Stott to play every day for his own individual development. And if you think about the big picture and how important he is to the Phillies' future, yeah, you want a guy like that playing as much as possible. I don't think that, you know, turning things over to Moniak and Stott at center field and shortstop the last few days, which also came out of necessity. You know, Moniak playing center field because the Phillies don't have a great solution there, and Stott playing shortstop, and he's going to play pretty much every day now with Segura and Camargo injured. But, you know, I think really that a lot of this weekend had to do with facing an Angels team that was skidding, facing three starting pitchers who struggled to throw strikes. You know, the kid they faced in the series opener, Silseth, was clearly overmatched. Then Lorenzen couldn't throw strikes early, and Sandoval, who they face Sunday, he's a good pitcher, but he also has bouts of erratic control. So, you know, it was a cool story, Bryson Stott hitting the walk-off three-run homer, and he has looked better at the plate. I mean, that wasn't the only big hit he came up with this week. Stott, his last six games, has hit the ball well, hit the ball with some authority. So that's a positive sign. But, you know, I don't think that Joe Girardi's, like, reluctance to play Stott every day in place of Camargo early, like, spelled his doom. If anything, Girardi early on was trying to put together the best lineup on a day-in, day-out basis to win that game, which obviously, you know, the more wins you have, the better your chance of keeping your job.
Yeah, for sure. Now, we're talking to Corey Simon from NBC Sports Philadelphia.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
You tweeted it out, 26 runs, 15 extra base hits, 45 base runners during that sweep. But the one player I want to ask you about is Bryce Harper. Now, obviously, you're not a older beat writer, but you've been around a little while now. Just how great is that guy? The reason I've been pushing that is because I think sometimes we have really good greatness, we take it for granted because they just do it all the time. Just how great, especially considering he's playing with that elbow injury, in your mind, just how great is Bryce Harper?
Yeah, it's a relevant question because he has reached a new level in Philadelphia. He was a very, 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 very good player when he got here. He was a superstar player when he got here, but he's even reached greater heights while being a Philly. I mean, if you look at Harper's numbers since 2020 compared to Mike Trout's numbers since 2020, you know, Trout hasn't been as healthy, but even if you look at the rate stats, Harper's pretty much been the better offensive player. Bryce Harper's become a 300 hitter here. You know, this is 2 years in a row that he's been hitting for average and for power and taking his walks. He's having another incredible year. That's why the Phillies feel this sense of urgency. It's why a managerial change was needed. It's why a shakeup and new energy was needed. You can't waste another prime year of Bryce Harper because you don't know the back end of that contract, year 10, 11, 12, 13. Is he going to be even close to this? Is that, you know, this is probably a prime of Zach Wheeler's career. So, you know, you can't just keep stacking these individual accomplishments. It needs to eventually lead to team success. And, you know, there's no doubt that Harper's doing more than his part. And he's far exceeded expectations, in my opinion, individually.
Yeah, he absolutely has. And I just marvel at it. It just seems like it's almost like you expect it in a game where you can't expect anything because that cliche is true about it being a failure game. You just don't, you just feel like he's going to always come through. And I can tell you, I mean, except for maybe the Utley Rollins Howard team, I haven't really felt that in my lifetime watching the Phillies.
Yeah, with Harper, he has a flair for the dramatic. When he comes up in those spots, there's an expectation that something dramatic is going to happen, like it did on Sunday. And it does kind of remind me of Chase Utley. You know, there were times where Chase Utley, like I remember the 1 year Chase Utley missed the first 80 games of the season with a knee injury, comes back, and I'm pretty sure in his first at bat hit a home run. Like, of course he did. You know, of course Chase Utley did that because it seemed like whenever there was a big spotlight on him, he would come through. And really that's what it's been with Harper. Bases loaded, runners in scoring position. you can just tell that there's so much more pressure on the pitcher than there is in Harper in those situations. And he's, you know, become even more selective as he's gotten older. This season, he's been more aggressive on the first pitch, which has led to some more success. But they have Schwarber going. They have Harper going at the top of the lineup right now. And the offense is kind of clicking the way we thought it would.
Yeah, last thing I want to ask you, Corey. Fans have faith that the offense is going to be better. And obviously last weekend doesn't hurt that. The starting pitching has been pretty darn good, all things considered. The bullpen, though, is still a concern, and the closer spot is a concern for many. In your opinion, if not doing it now, because I don't think they're going to make a change now, is that something for us to watch on the back end of the bullpen? Perhaps could we at some point see Sir Anthony take over that spot if Knebel continues to have the struggles he's had since the month of May forward?
Yeah, I mean, I could see it if Knebel continues to struggle. I mean, Knebel hasn't been maybe as bad as it seems overall. Three of his last, like, five outings have been bad where he's given up runs late in games. And obviously, you know, it doesn't matter if it's just one run. When it comes in the ninth inning and it gives the other team the lead, that's a catastrophic result, you know. But when you look at Knebel's career, it's not like he's Craig Kimbrell where he's only ever pitched in the ninth inning. He's also set up throughout his career with Milwaukee and with the Dodgers. So if the Phillies felt like, you know, Sir Anthony's pitched so well, he hasn't allowed a run since May 3rd. He's locked in. We're going to give the ball to Sir Anthony in the ninth inning for a couple days, for a week, see what happens. I don't think that would, like, totally shatter Knebel's confidence because he has experience in both roles. Brad Hand has also really quietly, under the radar, been solid for the Phillies. He hasn't allowed a run since May 4th, 13 consecutive scoreless appearances. So Hand and Dominguez are doing a good job of getting the ball to the ninth inning. If they can get Knebel going, too, if they can have all three guys pitching well at the same time, they'll be able to hold these leads.
Yeah, and then, I could be crazy. I think they still have a shot to make the postseason. I don't think anything's been decided. I know some fans have given up, but I'm just not there yet. And from hearing the stats that you've given so far, I think you agree. We shouldn't put dirt on them just yet. There's still a lot of baseball still to be played.
Yeah, I mean, there's 100-plus games left, so anything can happen. The division, in my opinion, is still pretty much out of reach. You're still 11, 11 and a half games behind the Mets,
who,
you know, the Mets don't even have their full team ready yet. They don't even have Scherzer and DeGrom or McGill in the rotation right now. But in the wild card race, you know, it's even with the extra playoff spot, it's going to be difficult because NL Central, you got to consider that there's probably going to be a second playoff team out of the NL Central because they're going to face the Pirates, Reds, and Cubs 57 times, you know, so that's gonna matter. There's probably going to be at least two teams out of the NL West because, you know, the Giants, the Padres. So there's not going to be a ton of spots for the Phillies. They have to obviously start playing well now. But when you like compare the talent level of the roster to some of these other teams, the Phillies should be there. They should be able to put together a run. We'll see if it happens.
Yeah, indeed, for sure. Appreciate it. Listen, Corey, thanks so much. Everybody should be reading your stuff each and every opportunity that they get, and we greatly appreciate your time.
Much appreciated, Ty. Thank you.
All right, that was Corey Seidman.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.